Okay, we'll make a start of it. So Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'll commit the service to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as we go into it expectantly, help us to be humble and have open minds. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and to understand. Father, I know that I can be so dull of understanding sometimes, and I just pray that you would help us, Lord, edify us and equip us to do your will and to better understand you, Lord, so that we may love you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fear of the Lord. So anyone who has ever spent any time studying the word of God will surely not have failed to have encountered this word, this phrase, many times. It's frequently repeated throughout Scripture, the fear of the Lord. Now, when God repeats himself, like any teacher, it is to emphasize the importance of what he's saying. The fear of the Lord. So if we have any hope of understanding the Bible, then which is the source of knowledge, we can only do so if we get this right, the beginning. So what is the fear of the Lord? We should all know what fear is. Everyone's experienced fear. It's something I'm sure everyone's familiar with from a very young age. We learn what fear is. Now, fear, like pain, is God's given warning system. So it's to let us know that there's a danger ahead. There's something that has the power to hurt us. Now, whether that's emotionally, physically, or spiritually, fear is there to warn us. Now, fear is either right or wrong, rational or irrational. So if we turn to Luke 12, verses 4 to 5, we'll see two different kinds of fear compared. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to a multitude of people. So the word says that it was an innumerable multitude. So there's going to be saved people there, some people who were hostile to the gospel, the Pharisees. And he's comparing two different kinds of fear. So the fear of man on one hand and the fear of the Lord on the other. So one is wrong, one is right. Both man and God have the power to harm. So both can kill the body. But only one is worthy of our fear. And that one is God, because of his power to create and sustain a place of eternal destruction. Hell is the worst case scenario. And yet it rarely enters into the mind and the imagination of the wicked, the possibility that they might be going there. If you were to ask a person off the street who has no knowledge of God, sin, or the Bible, what their worst fear is, I doubt hell would be their response. You'll notice that there are no insurance policies against it. But as we can see in Scripture, unbelievers are characterized by a lack of fear for God. Now, in Christ's parable of the unjust judge, which you'll find in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 5, Luke 18, 1 to 5. So this parable depicts such a person who has no fear of God. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this is not the purpose of the parable, but it does illustrate through this wicked, neglectful judge how wrong behavior is motivated by a lack of fear for God, a disregard of God's power and sovereignty. So ultimately, we see that in spite of this judge's claims to have no regard for man, he ultimately succumbs to the fear that this poor, downtrodden, but persistent widow will wear him out with her badgering. So the action he could have simply performed out of a loving sense of duty and fear of God is instead a forced, joyless obligation for him. The fear of man bringeth a snare, Proverbs 29:25. So all other fears but of God are trivial because of the reality of hell for those without an escape route. Now, we turn to Hebrews 11, verse 7. Now you remember Brother Huey used this scripture in relation to jumping ship in times of storm. So Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we see here the greatest consequence of the fear of the Lord. In the account of Noah we just read, God intended the ark to be a type, a picture of salvation through Jesus Christ. As we read in the scripture, we will see that it was fear that motivated dear Noah to seek the safety of the ark and escape certain destruction. So moved with fear. The process of conversion and rebirth through the power of the gospel is begun with fear. The fear of the Lord. So the source of danger becomes the source of safety. God is a just judge who must punish sin to the full extent, but because of his loving kindness and mercy, he himself has provided the means to be pardoned by repentance and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, God created hell and will oversee its function, the judgment of the wicked in the lake of fire in the presence of the Lamb, Revelation 14:10. And God, therefore, has the power to keep someone from going there. Repentance in the Greek is metanoia, which literally means a reversal, a change of mind. So it's a turning away from the cause of fear. A turning away, not from the cause of fear, but away from sin towards the source of safety in the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is repeated again in Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, repenting is the first wise thing we can do. Amen. And I did it because I was afraid. Now, Psalm 25 to 14, I'll just read two verses back to back. Psalm 25, verse 14. You can turn there if you like, but I'll move quickly. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The fear of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Then 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So looking at these two scriptures reveal to us just how the fear of the Lord opens our eyes to the meaning of the biblical text. So the Bible is the most widely published book in the world. Now, not all of those versions are good and correct, but it says something about how generous the Lord is in spreading his word throughout the world. Now, wisdom crieth in the streets, the proverb tells us. The knowledge and wisdom that is in this book is freely available and is no secret. But as we read in 1 Corinthians, to those that are perishing, it might as well be. Only those who fear the Lord will be shown God's covenant of grace. So where does this leave the believer? No more hell, no more fear of God. We'll turn to Isaiah 11, 2 to 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. So, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, this scripture prophesies the character of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. So the Son of God is without sin. So what motivated this fear of the Lord? For those in Christ, sin still has consequences, and as a loving parent, the Lord has both the right and power to discipline us when we sin. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the fear of the Lord is an expression of devotion to do God's will and keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. 1 John 4, 18 to 19. It's on the subject of God's love. 1 John 4:18-19, and our love towards Him. The love of God inspires us to love Him. And so 1 John 18-19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. So the love of God inspires us to love Him, and our fear of Him is transformed into love when we abide in Him, which shall be manifest in our obedience to Him. So how do we come to know the fear of the Lord in the first place? Enjoy all of the benefits that the Word tells us we can expect. So as we read Proverbs 1:7, knowledge, wisdom, Proverbs 9:10, long life, Proverbs 10:27, riches and honour, Proverbs 22:4. Well, the answer to that is also in Proverbs. And you'll find that in the last scripture for this evening, Proverbs 2:1-5. Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if we receive his words and hide his commandments within us, that is, if we read and focus on and remember the word of God and seek his wisdom, we will learn to fear him. Let's finish the prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for salvation, Lord. Thank you for opening our eyes to your truth, Lord, where we were so blind and rebellious before. And Father, we just pray that as we read more of you and draw nearer to you through your word, that we would learn to fear you, Father, and have a right fear of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.